Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 143. Hitting those big numbers again.
Sure about that?
Yeah. Sure, it's 143. Yeah, no, I double-checked this time.
I have the episode list in front of me just in case. Yeah,
I got it right here on my phone. No, not going to do that again. At least not for another 10 episodes.
Speak for yourself. I'm getting old, man.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I guess we can talk about, like, I guess we can knock it out of the park and just start off with the big drop this week during Super Bowl. Tons of commercials, trailers for everything. You know, we got to see some, you know, first look at the Rings of Power, the Lord of the Rings trailer dropping.
Dude, looked freaking, yeah. In French, looked freaking awesome.
Like, I saw... There's a trailer for AMC Plus, and I saw a couple of clips of Interview with a Vampire in it, which I thought go back. You'll find it. It's a clip. It's about advertising for AMC Plus. So they were showing clips of, like, you know, Discovery Witches and a bunch of their other shows. But there were a few clips in there with the cast of in some clips from Interview with a Vampire, the series, which supposed to be dropping this year. And I guess definitely going to be this year, because I mean, if they're going to include that into their little clip show that they did, or their commercial.
Yeah, if they do that, it has to come sometime this year. Probably, yeah. I would venture to say, like, maybe the summer.
I'm thinking late summer or early fall, to fall into the Halloween vibe, because I mean, that would definitely work great with them. I know, like, with Discovery Witches, the last show's this weekend, and so that's gonna that's gonna leave an empty hole in their supernatural, you know, schedule.
They still have Walking Dead on, right, for like the 18th
season. I think they've got Walking Dead, Fear of the Walking Dead, and then something else. Yeah, they've got it.
Night of the Walking Dead.
Yeah, I've got it, but I only got it for Discovery Witches. And so I really haven't delved into it. I probably should, because I was about ready to cancel it once the series is over. I was gonna go ahead and cancel that, but then I was like, oh well, crap. I guess I'll have to wait to see when they're gonna do Interview with a Vampire, because I definitely want to get on board with that. What other trailers? They had a couple other ones, but I mean, obviously the big one was Doctor Strange. Yeah, dropping, you know, into the Multiverse of Madness. So I mean, what'd you think? Were you was it what you were waiting for, what you wanted? Got more than what you thought?
I'll give you a little inside baseball, guys. Mike sent me this text, because I'm working third shift now for at least a couple weeks. He sent me a text. He's like, did you watch a trailer? I'm like, no, I didn't watch it. So I
thought you guys would have had the game on.
We did, but we had just gotten there to work, and I'm going to 7. So anyway, I got there and I'm setting stuff up, and you sent me that text. I'm like, let me go watch it. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at my little phone, looking at it. I'm like, okay. I'm like, holy, now let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Is that Patrick Stewart's voice?
Sounds like it. I mean, that definitely sounds like it. And there was a undisclosed, or I was trying to find it. I can't find the article I found, but there was a supposed leak from a somewhat of a reputable source as to the cast. And it's not the one that's on there that shows, you know, everybody from, you know, like there's like one that's just got, you know, like I think they had Belle from Twilight on there, and you know, it was like I was like, and but people are like posting, going, oh, look at what's coming out. I was like, no, dumbass, that's like, really look at that. But no, there was somebody and they were talking about, you know, this is where we're most likely going to see, you know, the introduction of the X-Men, because Patrick Stewart was on that. But they were talking, you know, like Ryan Reynolds most likely will be there.
Perfect spot to throw Deadpool in there too. I mean, why not? Multiverse of Madness. I mean, the name in itself. The shot where it looks like Strange is being walked to this corridor by the Ultron bots.
Yeah.
And you see, like, you hear that voice, and then you see, like, if you pan back, you see, like, this, it looks like a chamber where all these seats. That's the Illuminati.
Yeah, it's got to be the Illuminati.
It has to be Illuminati, man. Like, if it's not, I will be disappointed.
Yeah. Well, again, we do know Feige likes to pull a little swerve here and there. So that's why I think that's Patrick Stewart, but I don't know for sure, you know, that he could have got somebody to sound like him for it. But again, you can have this not be the X-Men that we know, or the Patrick Stewart, or the, you know, Professor Xavier we know. This could be a completely different one, you know, to where you know, they're, it's not, you know, it is Patrick Stewart. It is, you know, Xavier, but it's not the one that we know. It's not the Fox one. It's, it could be an evil version of that, you know?
Could be. Yeah. Why not? I mean, it's called Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah. And of course, everybody's a big run is, you know, or big thing right now is talking about, you know, well, you know, Tony Stark could probably, you know, will probably be, you know, they're talking about Tom Cruise. And I'm like, well, why would he look different? I mean, I know we have seen it in Loki where the variants do look different. But yeah, like now, if you look at a couple of the things, like there's a, some of the shots like I saved on here, like when you see in Doctor Strange's nightmare, you see the building and it looks like one of the buildings from Loki. It looks like the time
variant.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm looking at it right now. It does look a little bit like it. I'm trying to figure out what world he's in. When he goes into the Sanctum Sanctorum and he sees like a giant statue of himself, like what's that world about? Yeah. Strange take over that world? Is that another evil? Is that Strange Supreme or is it another evil Strange? Or I mean, I don't know, because I guess Strange Supreme would be the one with his hair slicked back and then like evil Strange.
No, that's
like,
Defender. That's Defender Strange. Yeah, that's Defender Strange. Yeah, that's one. And that's what I thought was cool is like when you really, you have to go back and watch it. But yeah, you'll see like Defender Strange. There's an animated Strange when the animation looks just like the What If series. Obviously, you know, What If is going to be tied into this. I've been reading some people like, oh, it's real. Well, What If's going to be part of it. Like, that's, didn't you know that? That like that yeah, they like, set that up before. That's exactly what If was setting up.
I think people have bypassed that series thinking, oh, it's animated. It's not included in the MCU. And even Feige said it before that series came out. No, this is part of the MCU.
Well, we see that. We see evil Strange, you know, at the very end of the trailer, which I thought was really cool to see that. Of course, so we see them talking between Wanda and Dr. Strange, you know, making the comment about you do it and you're looked at as a hero and I do it and I'm looked at as the villain. And basically they're saying, she's saying, well, you changed time, you warped reality and nobody's coming after you.
But I want to bring my, like, I want to do my thing and I'm looking at the villain. And like the way she said it was very eerie too.
It was in a way. Yeah. It was very calm. Yeah.
Very calm. It's like, those are the villains that freak me out when they're very like, just like this. And they speak in a low monotone voice. Those are the ones that just scare the hell out of me because they're like, they're just so like, you know, everything's so subtle to them. They're not like, hey, mustache. No, they're not that.
Yeah.
That was frightening. I'm like, oh shit. So I guess Wanda's going to be the main baddie or a version of Wanda. Cause I guess we saw a couple of Wandas in this trailer too.
So we saw a couple of Wandas at the end of WandaVision. Remember, she was in with the Grimoire reading the book, but she was projecting a calm, drinking tea, sitting in front of the cabin. Mm. So one's her projection. It's nothing different than what we've already seen. We've seen Wanda project herself one way and being doing something else. So yeah, that's just a continuation of what we already saw in WandaVision. If you look at it.
Yeah. And she's going forward. She is the most powerful Avenger. If the Avengers are still around, we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But
we see Dr. Christine Palmer's wedding. And so we see that happening. We see the fall of Kamataj, which is kind of cool to see.
Yeah, what happened over there? It looks like a giant dust storm just destroyed the whole thing. Yeah, that was freaky looking. And then we got Mordo in there too, which is kind of badass. Common accurate Mordo, by the way.
Well, we have to have him. I mean, that's kind of, we kind of left him hanging there. So it's like, yeah, he should be back, which is great on how they're doing that. You know, showing that, you know, he's still believing that he was doing the right thing. He's following, you know, what he was taught. We see God, what else we see? We see a couple like quick glimpses. Somebody was saying that they thought they saw the light person that was all like in light. A lot of folks are like, oh, that's Captain Marvel. I don't know if that's Captain Marvel, if that's maybe America Chavez's character's new one, or it could be Monica. Remember, Monica's still out in the world a little bit, but I know she was more gonna be tied up with Secret Wars, I think.
Yeah, but, and then I saw somewhere else where they said it's like it's Iron Man Supreme, Tony Stark, which I don't know. And like, it could be anybody. I would go along with the Captain Marvel theory probably because it looks a little like more how Captain Marvel was, you know.
Why would she be there? That's the one thing. It makes sense. There's no connection. She's cosmic. She's not mystical.
I mean, it might be America Chavez as well. I mean, with her character, it could be that. I mean, maybe it's a variant of her, or that is her, or somebody completely different that we don't have no clue. I mean, there's just so many things in that trailer alone. It just brings up conversation. And even in the poster as well.
Oh, yeah, the poster. Yeah, because you see so much.
Ridiculous, man. And like, you see the, what's her, Peggy Carter's shield in there, and then people claim they saw Deadpool in there, which I looked, I didn't, there's like an imagery of like a black and white thing, which is
I know, I saw that one too. I was like come on guys,
come on. I would love for him to be in it, and I think it's the perfect time to intro him is in this movie Multiverse of Madness, but come on, no.
And you saw the when we do see Wanda and she's talking to herself, you see that she's in her home. She's in Westerview, which I thought was really cool to see. Or Westview, not Westerview. Sorry, I was going Game of Thrones a little bit there.
We'll get to Game of Thrones. Your boy Martin was talking. So good.
And then of course I think we see Zombie Strange in there. I mean, so we're if nobody has watched What If, you gotta hop in and check out What If, because there's a lot of connections going on with that one. And then of course WandaVision to get connected and caught up with that.
We saw a zombie Wanda too?
I don't know if that was zombie Wanda, because that was like, it was her. I think that was at the time that she was in Westview and like her face started breaking apart. But again, we've seen a lot of like breaking apart of people. We even saw like a comic book accurate of when Strange starts breaking apart into the cubes. That's straight out of the panels. I mean, that was like, I was like, holy crap.
That was cool. They're going deep and sweaty on this one. And it's a Raimi film too. So he's going to add some of those horror elements. Dude, it looks freaking awesome. I mean, like I said, I'm going to repeat it till I die. Multiverse of Madness, that name alone, it got me. I think when they introduced that title, was it last year, year before? Not sure. But when that was the title, I was like, dude, you know it's going to be some crazy shit.
Yeah.
And it looks like they are just going bonkers, multiverse, what ifs, everybody's coming in, like 1,000 cameos. Looks like we have the Illuminati, which, like I said, it appears...
Yeah, it appears so, which would make sense to have the Illuminati head of the multiverse in a way. Maybe, you know, that's what they're there for. But yeah, we're definitely seeing a lot of payoff, not just in this phase, payoffs from past phases. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get the comment, you know, that Tony Stark made on a suit of iron, you know, everywhere, you know, across the whole globe, you kind of see that in the Iron Bots, Ultron thing, whatever you want to call them, you know, but...
They look like the Ultron bots a little bit. I mean, I could be wrong, man.
Well, I mean you're going to keep that vibe and that consistency. Yeah, you're going to want to make them look like kind of like Ultron, because again, if it was made by a Tony, he's going to have that same kind of design and thought in his head.
Yeah, I wonder if Ultron pops in here, like a different version of Ultron. What was the Ultron we got? Ultra Vision? Was that the name of him?
Yeah. But again, I don't think we're going to see that one, because I think we're at the end of them. End of that, of What If. Whatever happened in What If was in the past, according to this now. So we're seeing, because again, we're seeing the Dark Strange, you know, and when we ended with in What If, he was sort of on the side of good.
You know? Yeah, he was. So, just, yeah, exactly. So I don't think that, like, I think they call him Strange Supreme in the What If. This is a different Doctor Strange, an evil Strange from another universe. I don't think it's the same one.
I didn't see. I do. That's because the way he looks. Yeah, the way he looked at the very dark. I think it's the same one. Because why introduce another one when you've already got a set up character?
Well, like you just said, wasn't he on the side of good when end of What If? He was just sort of watching.
So what? Why couldn't he be side of good now? Why couldn't he be the one coming after Strange, going, "Hey, you screwed up. I'm holding. Remember where we left him off, watching the multiverse, holding it together. Well, this other Strange, our Strange, went and fucked it up. So why wouldn't he come out and go, "Hey, we messed up once already, and this is where I'm paying for it. You just did it again." And yeah, I could see it being the same one.
That's not a bad one. Okay.
Yeah, I could. Yeah. I think that's it for that. I mean, that's all I saw. Really.
Yeah, I didn't see much else, but it looks terrific. Just tell Sydney to send me a ticket and I will be there.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure all that out when we get to that. And then again, something that I know it was all over the internet. I know it was all over like my people I follow on TikTok. Disappointment during the Super Bowl was no Obi-Wan trailer. Because a lot of people were like waiting that this is the prime time, especially we're a few months away from, you know, it debuting. You know, we're about 3 months away. This would be the perfect time to drop a trailer. You know, I mean, because everything else is getting a trailer dropped. So why not? So I know a lot of folks were kind of a little disappointed there.
I'm not. I mean, the next series they got is Moon Knight. They got to pump that up going forward. So I'm cool with it. We got a poster. Like, I can wait.
And what'd you think about the Moon Knight trailer that they put on there?
Dude, it looks like they're going in a completely different direction as far as like the MCU goes. I'm not talking about the Netflix stuff. I'm talking like MCU. It looks a little bit more rigid, more violent, especially like they're making the Moonlight character. I mean, he looks great. Whoever designed that costume, because if you look at the adaptation from the comic, it can be a little goofy, like him just wearing that all white. But when they designed it, they add the white, but you have some of the grays. You have to do different tones. I forgot what they call it's a pale white. The term I think when I used to paint one of my rooms in the house like a pale white. It looks great, man. It looks really good. I'm looking forward to this series. And again, I'm not a biggest Moon Knight fan because one of the last runs I read I told you about was terrible, and I just screw this. But it looks like they're going back to what we discussed many episodes ago of that, you know, his conflict with the multi personalities and the violence of the Moon Knight character. And I dig it.
Yeah,
I dig it a lot. And I especially dig what's his name? Who's the villain in it? I forgot his name. Ethan Hawke.
Yeah,
Ethan Hawke, very, very David Koresh-y. Like I think he said that in one of the interviews that one of his influence was David Koresh. I mean, you could see it right there, like cult leader going. Dude, it looks just so different. And that's what I like about Marvel and their series is they take different things that has been out there and they adapt it to their own and they just make it different. And I think with this Moon Knight character in the show, it's showing that. And hopefully it's not a one and done like Oscar Isaac says. I hope they keep going forward. But I mean, I like everything I see. What did you say?
I mean, I loved it. Yeah, everything that they showed on there was just spot on. Again, I'm not haven't been a big Moon Knight fan, or not a fan, but I just never really got a chance to read any of it. So, but yeah,
I read the past stuff like the Moon Copter, which was kind of silly, and the Ring ship. But like this is going back to the Moon Knight that I know. I'm like, oh, okay. Now we're getting some violence and bring it on. And the Mr. Knight looked kind of cool. Him with the Moon Knight mask and like a suit on. That was weird. I'm like, okay, we're going to get that version. Okay.
Oh. Talking about Obi-Wan, did you see that they announced that John Williams is coming back to do the theme?
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's going to come back and do the theme, which I think is awesome. It's not going to be the new guy that they've been using Mando for, which is perfect because this is outside of that. This is, you know, pre that time, and what better way to capture that emotion and to have John come back. And
dude is 90 years old and still rocking it, man. You keep making those Star Wars themes, John. Well, God bless your soul. Yeah, and because I think after the last one he did The Rise of Skywalker, he's like, I'm done.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, he was.
Him to come back for doing Obi-Wan, I dig it, dude. And it fits.
Yeah.
He's been around since the beginning of Obi-Wan. Why not let him score?
Yeah, what better person to do that and to set the tone and the mood for him, because you know, he was not just, you know, for Star Wars, but he's made Obi-Wan themes before. So hopefully we'll find a way that where he brings in the different themes that we've heard in the past. You know, he's been good at that before when when he's done stuff.
Yeah. And people don't talk about the theme he did for Rey's theme, which I think is one of the best new scores that he did for Star Wars. You know, characters say what you will, but like the theme itself is kind of iconic, not as iconic as the other ones, but still like right up there with his other Star Wars ones, Imperial March and so on and so forth. Leia's theme, Beyond the Stars, Duel of the Fates. I mean, you name it. He's done some really pretty epic Star Wars stuff, not just, you know, the name theme. Excuse me. That little dry throat right there. But I love this. I love it. I think it's only 6 episodes.
Yeah.
So he's not going to have to be there too long. Like when he does a movie, it's a longer process.
It's sick. He's doing 6 hours. He's doing a trilogy of movies, basically. I mean, it's not that long. You're like, oh, it's not that long. He's literally sat down and did one trilogy.
Yeah, but with the TV stuff, it's like it's already shot. So I think it's just, you know, Tim was looking at it and like not as long as a film. Film is like more work, but.
Well, he's not doing the full score. He's only doing the theme, the intro. Mm-hmm. That's it. He's not going to be scoring the rest of
I thought he was doing the whole.
No. He's just coming in to do the theme, Obi-Wan's theme. So yeah, it'll be there. Yeah.
He'll make it badass. He'll be in and out for him.
So, got our last episode of Peacemaker. What'd you think? I mean, I know you're the You've been gushing over Peacemaker all season. So
they hit the landing, man. They hit the landing. That's all I'm going to say. They perfect everything that was introduced in the first episode. They brought it back to the last episode, and I was just more interested in the Peacemaker character himself. Like, they made me care about him. Mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't like the douchey Captain America. There was stuff behind of the things he did.
Oh, he was. And, he still was. And, it just, there was more. Yeah, like, there's a reasoning behind why he was the way he was.
And please bring back the supporting cast, all of them.
Yeah.
Bring back, especially Vigilante. Please bring them all back. I don't care. I mean, find a way to bring Clemson Murr back from the dead if you have to. Even, I even like the way they, like, the butterflies as a villain sounds silly. Like, they sound really stupid. And I looked it up in DC lore. There's no such thing as
butterflies. No, that was just,
they made it all gone. Yeah. Shit up. But in that one episode, it's towards the end, when Chris is there and he's talking to like one of the butterflies and like, yeah, why are you doing all this? And she explains it. She's like, look, you know, our planet like just died because of stupidity that we allowed to happen. We want to come here. We want to rule you to make sure you don't do the same mistakes that we did. I was like, oh, okay. Very interesting. Very, you know, one of those not mustache twirling, but like heart in the right place. I mean, you got to come in, you got to take over the world to do it, but you know, I get it.
Yeah. Again, it's one of those classic villains. It's, you know, you know, you're doing something for the good of it, but how you're going about doing it is, you know,
is just wrong.
Yeah.
And I thought for that split second, I'm like, oh, I think Chris is going to change his mind, but nope. It didn't happen. Torpedo. Yeah. They killed the poor cow and God, I guess the cop's name is Goff. She's dead. But the butterfly's still alive.
Yeah, butterfly's still alive. So, yeah, well, at least one of them is. So that's, you know, he's got another sidekick. And it was great to see his dad, like, still there, like, in his mind now.
I was going to ask you that. Is that in his head?
Yeah, or is that all in his head, I think. Yeah, that's his conscious, like, dealing, you know, messing with him. And I think that's going to be great for the season two.
To see
him battling that eternal fight. And it is interesting because how they ended it, you know, they basically called out Waller. Now I'm hoping Gunn is good on doing this, and he's aware, you know, of lore and everything. You gotta realize Waller's gonna come out, and she's got plans B, C, D, E, and F, you know, all the way through the alphabet. She's got more plans than Batman has plans, I think, honestly. Like, back,
she's got plans.
Because basically I saw one article where they made a comment. It's like, did they just kill off the Suicide Squad franchise as a movies, because they blatantly like blasted it on public television, you know, that this is going on. Task Force X is out there. I personally don't think they did. I think it's they can still do it. They can still be in under the covers, and, you know, and still go out and do what they need to do. But I thought it was interesting.
It's just out there, and like, oh, well, they might get some investigations to go to Belrive. Hey, let's see what you're really doing. And then, you know, like, it's like you said, man, Waller's way too smart for this shit. She can find a way to politically move it around and, like, you know, just like, hey, you know, this is nothing. That's, you know, she was on drugs or something.
Yeah.
Waller's like, I've seen Waller before. We read Waller. We've seen Waller need shit in the Justice League animated series. She's fucking brilliant. Her and Batman interactions are just awesome. So, like you said, this is nothing. Waller's got a plan. Upper sleeve.
She always says, yeah. And then, of course, oddly enough, one of the coolest cameos I think I've ever seen was the Justice League showed up. So, I mean, he's name dropped throughout this whole series about, you know, Aquaman being this person and Batman doing this and Green Arrow. You know, we got, you know, clarification that Green Arrow is in the continued, and I don't care what anybody says, Gunn is continuing the Snyderverse. It may not be Snyder heading it, but it's his verse. I mean, because you had Jason Momoa in there, you had Ezra Miller in there as their characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
there was another article that I read before I got on here where James Gunn said that Peacemaker takes place after the Flash movie.
Cool. Okay.
So I'm like, okay, so there is, I guess, the Snyderverse.
No, then that can't be right, because he's rocking the old suit then.
That's what he said. I'll send you a link.
That's kind of interesting to see. Because, yeah, he was rocking his old suit. He didn't have the new suit that we see in the trailer, unless that's a temporary suit or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's interesting. He had an interview, and he was talking about that scene, and it's actually owed to Marvel.
I read that,
he was on set filming and doing everything for the new Guardian of the Galaxy, and they were allowed them to use their equipment to get that, you know, set up. And I think that's awesome. Of course, you know, we don't see Henry, so that's fine, but and we don't see Gal, but we see their, you know, their silhouettes, and that's perfect. That's a conversation you and I have been having for months now, is can DC survive without its Holy Trinity? And in this way, it kind of proved that it can, because they were there, but they weren't involved. You know, they were just kind of showing up late. And I think that that's how it can be done. You know,
I mean, it looks like that's what they're going to do going forward. But then again, I don't know. I threw some ideas at you. You're like, eh, maybe that's not going to happen. But I don't know what they're going to do. But it appears that Aquaman and Flash are safe.
Well, again, well, they have movies. So, I mean, that's a given. They've got two movies coming out. So, yeah. And Gal.
Superman is just there, yeah. I guess. So, okay, fine. That could work too. And no Cyborg or Batman. But, you know, from what I read from Gunn, he was like, I guess WB has plans for them, which would make sense. Like Batman, I would get. But like, you know, what about Cyborg? Like, what plans do they have for him? That's
probably nothing for a while, to be honest. I mean, it's, I think that's one of those.
Mad blood?
Yeah. With just the character, not the actor. I think they just need to let that character rest for a while until something new comes up. I mean, again, it's, they didn't treat the character right either. And, you know, as much as I do love the movies that Zach did, I don't think they treated the character right on the first movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Second one, yes. They kind of gave him a little bit more redemption. The first one, yeah, it was just too much articles, too much Twitter battles, and like, you know, F you. And yeah, I would agree with that. You can let him rest for a little bit, but it was great seeing him. I love the banter between Momoa and
Ezra. Yeah, that was great.
that was fantastic, man. I'm not going to repeat what they said because, you know, little kids hear our show, but it was just great, dude. It was just like, dude, it was just quick. I'm like, okay.
Well, again, cool. It goes back to the Justice League. Their little banter back and forth was probably one of my favorite parts, you know, was how they kind of, you know, make cracks to each other.
Yeah, that was that was one of the best parts, even in both versions of the Whedon or the Snyder one. It was like their interactions were great. I think I said that to you. Like, I love their interactions. Movie itself, but like them as a whole, yeah, that was great. And keeping that vibe going forward.
Yeah. And again, we see more and more times we see DC and WB doing the right thing for right characters and doing something. And then we hear a Wonder Twins DC movie in the works right now. Oh, and it's supposed to be strictly HBO Max, but they are doing the Wonder Twins. And I'm like, I kind of scratch my head. I think this is going to be DC's property to explore more controversial areas. You know, I would not be surprised. I'll put money on it. And I think because I was reading the Wonder Twins series they came out with about 3 years ago, which was really fun. And, but yeah, I think they're going to kind of venture out into, you know, more LGBTQ characters, just because that's the best way of doing it with these characters and kind of doing what they want to do. But I was really shocked. I was like, okay.
Thank goodness I couldn't post for Facebook for another 7 days or whatever. Because when I saw this, I'm like, and I think you said it best. So I'm not going to repeat you verbatim with the characters, but I'm going to use my own analogy.
So do the Wonder Twins get a movie before Nightwing, Superman sequel, Green Arrow, or Justice League Dark? Now, I do know Justice League Dark is in the work, so.
I'm just thinking of like all the other characters, like Etrigan. I mean, you could use in a solo film. I would have watched an Etrigan solo film.
I think they're going to save those for Justice League Dark. So that's the best way of doing it. Whatever JJ's working on, I think that's what they're gonna do and introduce all of them, and then they could branch off and go like kind of what your thought process is.
But a Wonder Twins movie, it's just like. Why?
Like I said, I think this is their property to reach out to a younger crowd, a more diverse crowd. So yeah, I mean, I've got no issues with it as far as like doing that. I just was like, really, the Wonder Twins? All right. and it being and it being an HBO Max movie, not it's not getting a full release out. So that's I was like, okay.
I mean, look, your thought process for it, like being the whole LGBT type of thing, it makes sense, sound, and I could see that. But it just like out of all of them to choose the Water Twins, like,
well, you got to think also with that is the nostalgia factor. Our generation, because of, you know, the Super Friends where they were debuted, you know, that's. That's something to look at, you know, and again, another one, just like Harley Quinn, you know, started in an animated and moved its way over to the pages. And I go back a couple of years, guys, and look and listen, see if you can find the archives. Yeah, that run that they had a few years ago was really a fun, you know, fun run. So I'll just, we'll see what they do. I think that, like I said, I think that's going to be their way of having younger crowd involved in it.
I guess. I mean, whatever. I'm like, okay, you know, it comes on and I may see it, but you know, just not one of those series that I.
Yeah. Was yeah. But again, guess what? That's the great thing about comics is it's not all for just us. You know, they're made for everybody else. I was just like, I was like, man, I really would have preferred to see another, you know, branch out the other ones instead of going to a basically a B, C kind of level characters. Indeed. But again, when we look at the current state of comic books and comic book movies, those are the ones that seem to be knocking it out of the park. Your Guardians of the Galaxies, your Peacemakers. You know, 20 years ago, somebody's like, hey, we're going to have a Peacemaker show. What? You're full of go away. Yeah. And it'd be awesome.
Yeah, and Doom Patrol, I would throw in there too. That's another like ancillary type of group, like not too popular, kind of like maybe C characters, and then they're out there. That's a great show as well. So,
a Star Girl show. I mean, just
Star Girl.
Yeah, it's yeah. Dude, and I got to tell you, and if anybody out there is a TikTok, gets into doing TikToks or watching or following anybody, follow Brie from Star Girl. She has got some fun stuff out there that she does.
Yeah, she's supposed to be filming season 3 soon.
Yeah, so. she recently posted one where she the actress that does a Wildcat, she jumped into her costume and started walking around the set for fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's like this is what happens when they start setting things up and then they're like, "Oh, wait, we got to set some more stuff up, so you guys got like 3 hours to kill." she's like wandering around with a costume, blonde hair.
Oh, so they are filming now, I guess.
Yeah, they were filming just recently. But yeah, if anybody likes to get on TikTok, she's a fun one to follow and you know, pretty clean cut as far as like if anybody, you know, parents or anything like that are worried. Something that like I Ivan Reitman passing away this week.
Huh? Sad, man. That's just
right that after, kind of especially right after, his, down, right after his son got done doing the Ghostbusters. Oh. I mean, it was heart wrenching.
The gut punch. I mean, that movie in itself is just a heartwarming movie. And, you know, it was like an accurate, you know, it just brought a new world and tied ended one and, you know, the father and son connection. And then just hearing that he passed was like, oh man.
Yeah. I mean, talk about a director that really like influenced like my youth, you know, growing up, you know, watching Meatballs. I mean, if nobody's ever seen Meatballs with Bill Murray, just amazing. Great. The Meatballs 1, Meatballs 2, little weird, but yeah, Meatballs 1, you know, you had Stripes, you know, Ghostbusters, Animal House.
Dude, and, Dave, yeah. Dave, have you ever seen Dave? Dude, Dave, yeah. Dave is a underrated gem. If you guys have never seen Dave, it's about like this, it's about a president and then like stuff happens, but like it's really, it's Sigourney Weaver's in that movie as well. And I forgot the main actor's name. Maybe you could look it up real quick, but such a good film. And it has that Ivan Reitman type of like humor in it too, but it's heartwarming. It's like, it has heart and it has humor. And it's another one of those good ones. Yes, he's done those great movies as well. But, you know, Dave has been an underrated gem for me for a long time. And seeing him pass after Afterlife, it's just like, man, I don't know. It's kind of bummed me out.
I mean, it's heartwarming also to be able to see that what his son did with his own property.
Yeah.
You know, his son took his IP and he was able to see Ghostbusters. Hopefully he was able to see Ghostbusters Afterlife and see what his son is able to do and goes forward. So yeah, it's kind of one of those ones. I know you and I are getting that age where our influence, people that have influenced us, you know, are starting to. Yeah. Pass away, unfortunately. But yeah, guys, get out there. Just check out some of the shows. I mean, he's had Twins, Kindergarten Cop, Junior. I mean, he had a nice little run with Arnold for a while. Even Beethoven. If anybody,
oh, was that him?
Yeah,
the first one.
Yeah, well, he was a producer for Beethoven.
Okay,
but yeah, he did produce Beethoven Old School. If anybody likes Old School.
Oh my gosh. I know he did Beethoven. Shit.
Well, again, but he was a producer. That was, oh, yeah, he produced Beethoven. But yeah, that was another one passing.
Thank God you don't have that music anymore. That
you used to play. Still have it. I just don't have it. I don't have it uploaded yet.
Okay, then it's like, thank God. That would make me even more depressed.
You son of a bitch.
I was like, every time you did it, I was like, come on, man. You have to keep playing that music every time somebody died. I'm already bummed that they died. Now I'm even more bummed.
No, it was, you know, it was the theme from it was Optimus Prime's music when he died.
So. Which is like, it's still
yeah, that yeah. Still, so not only am I hitting you that somebody's died and we're talking about it, but then the music, the sound of it just takes you right back to that moment being a kid in the theater watching that.
Guys, check out the archives, because I think there's a couple episodes where Mike we use that, and it's just like, I'm like, come on, man, really?
Dude, I mean playing the Benny Hill theme.
No, we could use that for something else.
What did you think about Paramount has a Star Trek film poised to start for late 2022 to start production, and they're talking to the cast of the JJ Star Trek group.
Well, you know what? I'm going to flip the script on you. What do you think?
I love it. I wanted more of them. I mean, I love that. It was a great trilogy. I would have been happy just to have that trilogy, but to see them continue, to see them do something more, I'm all for it. I am a Trekkie at heart. Even though there are certain parts of the new Star Trek I'm not a fan of, I'm still Trek. It's still Star Trek. And anytime I get my hands on some Star Trek, I'm all about it. And again, the cast was so much fun.
I like the new movies. I agree with you. Like, to me, and not to beat a dead horse to some people, but you know, not yourself, because I think you're a Star Trek fan who's open to new possibilities, which is what I like. You're not one of the older Star Trek fans who is not so much open to possibilities. They're too stingy in their ways. Like, Star Trek must be this. This must be that. That's not like this. And I think I read something where I heard, actually, I saw a video. A lot of those Star Trek fans are just dying off. So, which is sad, but you know, a lot of them are not around anymore to hold that torch.
No, they're still around. No, a lot of them are our age. Most of the people I know that are those Star Trek fans that you just described, the poisonous ones or the ones that don't want to grow or change. Yeah, a lot of them are our generation. In fact, one of our acquaintances at an establishment you check out over by my side of town every once in a while is he
old school?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yeah. Your other namesake. Yeah, he is.
I don't have to go out. I don't have to go out tomorrow, and I see him.
He is. Mm. Yeah, he is. I didn't know that. Oh yeah, yeah. And he is not a fan of the newer stuff. So, but yeah, it is. A lot of what I hear is that our generation, unfortunately, which I find really disappointing. We get the same shit from Star Wars as well. That the Phantom Menace. You know, that a lot of those are our age, because that's what we grew up on. You know, and it's sad to say, because you can't write those shows that way anymore. The Wagon Train to the Stars can't be done. Twilight Zone can't be done that way anymore, because, well, we've sort of, our palate has changed. You know, we're no longer that type of people. Those people we were back in the 60s. The world has changed. It has grown. It's become a little bit harsher. So yeah, our stories that we're going to watch on TV, well, they have to reflect, you know, the culture and society. Same thing. Look, when you go back and see, you know, when you go back and see like the Next Generation, you know, it was sort of the same, but there was a lot different to it. You know, it was still sort of that Wagon Train to the Stars, but they had a different feel to it because of being in the, you know, late 80s, you know, mid to late 80s, you know, starting off. And so what we're seeing now in the newer Star Trek, we are seeing the reflection of today's. Yes, it is a little political. And I love the people are like, why is it so political in Star Wars? Star Trek. I was like, have you not watched Star Trek? It is.
Have you not watched the original?
It's all full of politics. So I always laugh at folks when they're that way, especially when they do the same thing to comic books. I don't want politics in my comic books.
Did you? Two of my favorite episodes from the OG series of Star Trek, and I'm just thinking about it while you were talking. Maybe you can name these episodes. One episode was like where this culture was all wearing masks, right? Different types of masks. And like, why can't you take those masks off? And when they took them off, everybody had the same face.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And another one was like the half white, half black people with the face paint. That's another one, like politically charged thing. Yeah. I mean, politics and Star Trek has been around forever.
They go hand in hand. Yeah. They are hand in hand.
And guess what? It's going to keep going on. It's just part of the, it's part of the Star Trek universe. It's just their thing. And like, that doesn't bother me much, but to get back with the cast coming back, dude, I love it. I like Pine's version as Kirk. It's different, but still Kirk. Mm-hmm. Quinto's version of Spock is Spock, but his own way. Uhura with Zoe Saldana is still Uhura, but again, updated.
Yeah.
I just want to see how they're going to go forward without this guy now being a Chekhov. That's because unfortunately he passed away, but
we'll probably get a red shirt, you know, just some random red shirt guy, you know, and then just have him be a throwaway. I think, you know, if they're signing up for another, if it's just a one-off or if they're doing a trilogy, you know, either way. But I think what they should do is everyone have a different actor in that position.
So he just dies off. Yeah. And just, like he doesn't even die. Like every scene he just changes and we just so that'd be great. Like, wait a minute. Were you flying the ship last time? No, sir. I was down in the decks.
Yeah. Now my only question is this the Quentin Tarantino one that they were talking about, or is this something all on its own? You know,
I think it's all on its own. I don't think Tarantino, I think that one is dead. I think that was just,
I was kind of worried about that. So, but we'll see.
I mean, Tarantino's version could be like a TV movie.
Yeah.
Or like a streaming service thing. Like he could just do that. But honestly, when I heard it, I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, I was like,
and then after a while, I'm like, no, I don't want this. You know how like that old, what was it? Sesame Street. One of these things does not belong with one another. One of these things is not the same. Like Tarantino Star Trek, just, yeah, he's a fan, but just, you know, sounds cool on the outside, but you know, getting down to it, like, nah, I don't think I want to see that.
Did you see my post? I don't know. I was wondering. I was like, man, why is he so quiet? And then you reminded me that you're on your timeout.
Yeah, I'm still on my timeout, guys.
But did you see McFarlane Toys? The DC Multiverse lineup has won the award for the best selling toys in USA and Canada for the action figure line and the accessories that they have. And of course, you and I were big contributors or partial contributors to that.
I know. I think you and I were like responsible for like at least the Orlando, Florida area.
They're great lines. So we Jeff and I've always been talking about, you know, that toy line and when they come out, he and I, like, literally, it's like, if we're not talking about anything else, we're texting each other pictures of what we saw in the store. Hey, look at this.
That could be a podcast all on its own, because literally that's all we'll do. Like, we'll do this and then we'll do some other stuff. But like every single time, hey, guess what? I'll tell you, I picked this up. Hey, guess what was there? Like, literally, I went to Target last week, picked up two figures from the Batman movie, the Batman and the Riddler. But I always text him the picture.
I can't get past that. Damn. I just, the way the Riddler looks.
Yeah, I know, but
I'm gonna have to wait to see what he is, and then
context.
Yeah,
it's kind of growing on me, man. Because when you mentioned Zodiac Killer, I was like, oh, okay. Because when you add something like that with relation, that was cool. But like the picture I said, you know, Swamp Thing, I'm like, man, I should have dropped the $40 and bought it. It's so cool. But yeah, Mike and I do that often. Just, you know.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of trying to collect and build a, they don't have it yet, but I'm just going to try to piece part it together, a Justice League Dark.
I know. Once you got Dr. Fate.
Yeah.
And once you got Etrigan, I was like, dude, you're going for that supernatural vibe of DC. You might as well just finish it
now. Well, you saw my bookcase, how I've, like, the only ones that I have out right now are just the evil ones, you know, and of course my Batman from what's the series? Shit, I just do a blank on the name.
White Knight.
Yeah, the White Knight series. Yeah.
Which is a dope looking Batman, by the way.
Well, there's two of them. They're the same character. It's just one is got that noir brown tone, and then the other one is the gray and black, like we normally see. And I was like, man,
you can't tell me that Matt Reeves was not influenced by that comic when you look at the Robert Pattinson Batman, who has like a very similar type of cowl things. You cannot tell me that he didn't get that from there or some influence, because that's straight out of White Knight. But yeah, we'll be collecting McFarlane figures going forward, because there's not new lines that he's released coming this year. Ooh, I'm going to lose a lot of money.
So did you read or see or hear that the, you know, Mr. Game of Thrones, George R.R. Martin, is launching a Marvel comic series?
Yeah, I got it right in front of me. Was it Wild Cards?
Wild Cards. Yeah, it's a novel that he was the original novel for Wild Cards was like back in the 80s. It's like before he wrote Game of Thrones. And it was, it started off as like this anthology series where him and a bunch of other writers got together. But then I think as the Wild Card books, he started, he kept releasing Wild Card books. And I think after that, that's when it got more where he was doing the writing. So, I mean, obviously the guy's got to do something. He's not doing anything with his life. I mean, come on, dude. Slacker.
Well, we're still waiting for that final book in Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah. So, what did I tell you last year when you're like, oh, dude, it's set for January 2022. I was like, no, it's not. That will be there for years.
Dude, here's the thing, just to piggyback on that. I'm looking at the article of the comic he's going to do, Wild Cards. And the next one down says, oh, by the way, House of Dragons has just finished wrapping. I'm like, dude, you showed a trailer. I'm thinking like, tell Melissa, like, yeah, we're going to do it February. We're going to start. It's going to happen. No. I'm thinking, so when's it going to come out? Like in the fall?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, they're going to have to probably, you know, finish up some special effects and, you know, so yeah, they got done writing and everything. But no, the Wild Card series is really cool. If you I haven't gotten a chance to read it, but the concept behind it is really cool, where it is sort of this different version of like the Justice League, where you do have different characters. You know, you do have like the pilot kind of character. You have the mystic. You have you've got like a detective noir kind of style. I mean, you've got all these different folks that kind of are blended in together. So it's like he wrote a comic book series just in a novel form and just didn't bother getting the artwork together. But I think with him working with Marvel, I think will be really cool to see.
Yeah, and the cover looks really cool too. I like the sort of like magician type character who has like the red hair and then looks like a feathered boa hat, and the pilot guy, and some guy who looks like Two-Face who looks like a detective, and yeah, it looks pretty interesting.
And they are also doing a series as well. It's being produced by Peacock. So hopefully, really? Hopefully it'll come out together. So, you know, you have like what a great idea to do that. In this genre where he's doing, cause he's going from book to television series and to comic books. But you know what, a great way of doing that. But yeah, well, hopefully we'll see what he does with this. I mean, he is has to stay busy.
He's a slacker, so he's gonna do something.
Yeah.
He's not doing that Game of Thrones book that everybody's been waiting for like 5 years.
No. Longer, dude. Longer. Like 10.
Oh damn.
There's a book talker that I follow, a booktuber, and he said he read the first or the last book of the series before his daughter was born, and his daughter just had her 10th anniversary or her 10th birthday. So yeah, there are some you hear the people that are like complaining about Game of Thrones the show. You want to really talk to some angry and bitter people, talk to the novel fans. And that's one of the reasons why with me reading, I've talked to them, to that group so much. And I read Game of Thrones, but I kind of read it later. So I didn't have that bitterness that I'd been waiting that long. I've only been waiting maybe 5 years. But yeah, for those other people that did that. So that's why now when I'm like picking up a series, I usually look to see how long is it and is it done? Because I don't want to have that bitterness towards reading. I've heard a lot of folks like they kind of like backed off of reading because of that, because they're like, well, screw you.
Damn.
You know, that's some of the ones I'm picking up. I'm like, okay, is this a number one or number two? What are they projecting it to be? So, but right now, I think lately I've just been doing trilogies right now to read. I am starting the Dark Tower series here shortly. Well, I read Salem's Lot. Oh, I forgot how good King is, man. Scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the film or no?
Yeah, I saw the film. Yeah.
Was it a good adaptation in your opinion after reading the book, or was it like sort of
pretty close? Yeah, I mean, as best as they could do. Again, writing is gonna be more story building and character building and more background stuff going on. But yeah, for time constraints, you know, you always have to, you're going to lose something from the books to the movies. And
smash everything. And
it happens. I mean, that's why when I do find something that I'm like, wow, man, that actually was a good translation. Like The Expanse to me was a good, it wasn't a perfect translation. It was a good translation. And not only did The Expanse translate the novels, those guys also released novellas. And in the series, they actually slid in the novellas into the show. Because I'm reading the books and watching the show, you know, and I was like, wait a second, I just got done with that book that this season was based off of, and that shit didn't happen. It wasn't until I was like, I had like a spot, and I was like, I started reading the novellas. I'm like, oh, that happened. I see what they did. Okay, cool. So I was like, Prime did a smart thing. They kind of merged everything together except for the last three books, which, you know, that's fine with me. The last three books jumped 30 years. So it was kind of like a jarring when I jumped into the book. I was like,
So it was like, you know, some of the fairy characters died.
No. They were all there. Okay. It was just 30 years down the road. And I was like, man, that was a big jump. I had to go back. I was like, did I miss something? Oh, yes, I did. I missed 30 years.
Strange. Yeah. I was wondering about that one. So sorry about that. I just trying.
So you got anything else? Because I think that's everything I've got.
I'm trying to think. I think he pretty much covered everything that I wanted to get through. I was kind of angry about the Game of Thrones thing, but it doesn't look like anything else out here is hitting me. We kind of went through everything big. So we good, man.
All right, man. Well, guys, make sure you do check us out at Here's Asylum. And you can, I think this week is, we just dropped, what did we just drop on Midnight Movies?
Did we just Warrior?
Warrior was this week. Warrior. And then next week will be
Hitman Bodyguard.
So yeah, make sure you guys.
Hitman Bodyguard. Not wife.
Yeah. So make sure you guys do check those out. And we want to thank everybody on Facebook for, you know, joining in, helping out and posting stuff away and, you know, being interactive. Hopefully Jeff will be back and posting stuff right along with me. So,
yeah, sorry. My band is going to be able in a couple hours. But yeah, check out Midnight Movies. Check out the Facebook page and all that goody stuff. And from Mike to me to you, get to the asylum. We'll see you soon.